Hiya pal, and welcome to another two-part special of the Chatty Freelancer podcast. So back in August 2025, I had the absolute pleasure of speaking at Scottish Creative Network about the 10 things I hate about freelancing. Now, for those who don't know, SCN is a monthly super casual networking night for creatives across Scotland, ran by my two Muppet pals, Greg and Ross. Honestly, their events are like no other, so when they asked me to speak, I was so buzzing. What made it even better is that we recorded the whole thing. So in part one, you'll hear my whole talk, a slightly chaotic, mildly poetic, and ultimately very honest take on freelancing that maybe isn't quite as hateful as it sounds. Then in part two, I sit down with Greg and Ross afterwards for a casual chat, answering some of the questions that we didn't get to on the night. So here they both are in all their chaotic glory. Strap in and enjoy. Okay, let's get into some of these questions that were asked at the last SCN event that we never got a chance to answer. So I've got Ross and Greg and myself here. We're going to answer some of these quickfire questions and hopefully it'll be very insightful. Fingers crossed.
you realise you're talking to two creative Muppets.
Yeah, but I'm a Muppet as well. We're all Muppets, so this might be helpful, this might not be.
I've never branded myself a Muppet.
I branded you a Muppet, I'm sorry.
Never actually accepted that. Anyway, let's
let's do it. Right, okay, so I think we should start with like the one that's maybe going to break the ice a little bit. So right. What's your biggest failure? Which I think is a great question. You can go first.
Oh, shit. What's my biggest failure? There have been a few, but I would say that it definitely has happened when you're behind a camera and you're filming something and you do forget to press record.
Does that happen once?
Yes, it does
twice?
Happen. A couple of times over the years.
You have one job to do, Greg.
I have one job to do and I forgot how to do it. Yeah. everyone that works behind a camera has done that. I can guarantee you that.
Mm. Oh, does your heart just like fall out your arse when you realise?
Yeah. And usually, to be honest, I'm lucky because most of my stuff is fairly short form. Uh-huh. So it's like, it's fine. Oh, can we just retake that? I don't think you brought that line across quite well. Press record again.
That's a good way to do it.
Been there, done that.
Great way to do it. My biggest failure is, I'm starting to chat to you guys earlier about this, mm-hmm. but I think it's not having any thin in place for when shit hits the fan with clients. So losing a client and not having anything to to go back on when that happens, especially when it's a big client. So
I'm kind of the same, even right now.
Yeah, no contracts. Right now,
No, I think that could be an issue for me.
Yeah.
So, how do I fix it, Chloe?
How do you fix putting a contract in place?
No, well, yeah, aha.
Just say that you're updating it, though. Like, just be like, I'm updating my terms and conditions.
It's been a while.
I wish it would be that easy.
Why is it not that easy?
That when you deal with me as one person and you go to massive corporate legal team, if you say, here, I want this contract signed,
they'll be like,
the lawyers will be, there's no case of just like, oh, that's fine, cool. It's a small company.
Yeah.
It's fucking massive
quite
lawyers.
Anal about it.
Oh. And it could take 6-9 months of negotiation.
But it's better than no months.
True.
That's so at least get it moving because, my biggest failure is when I literally started, it was like 2023, January 2023, I was like, yes, I was like, I've got two really big clients, I'm fucking raking it in, loving life, and then one of those clients messaged me whilst I was in the bath and told me that they were no longer wanting to work with me, or they didn't, I don't know what the reason was, but essentially it was a long relationship and it just ended
suddenly
like that, I didn't have anything in place to say, this contract is 3 months. I need this amount of notice. You also like need to pay me this, or there wasn't any ownership conversations, like all the stuff that I had designed for them. Sometimes there should be like a payment to say, I'm passing you over the ownership rights to these designs. But there was just nothing. It was just like, sorry, bye. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. See you later. And then panic button, shit hitting the fan. I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do?
I've obviously thinking that I had this money coming in as well, which is a problem when you've projected, okay, I know that I'm getting this money for the next few months, but then it suddenly stops and goes away. You're just a bit like,
yeah.
Have you experienced that?
Not that scale, but like that, I'm like, okay, there are certain things that I need to tweak, like those contracting things. But yeah, I think one of my biggest failures, probably when I said yes to a job that I didn't get the full scope of the job before I said yes to, and I should have had a catch up with the client prior to it, which I did ask for technically, but it never happened. They fired it over, didn't give me a deadline, so then I knew that it was like imminent, but I didn't know exactly. And then I opened it and I was like, this is way beyond what I can do, like skill set wise, because it was like really, really intricate on the PowerPoint. And I was like, nah, I can't. So then I just was like, do you know what? I need to just own this. So I phoned them and I was like, this is what's happened, blah, blah, blah. And they were totally cool about it. It was like, oh, we'll find somebody else. To be honest, I've never heard from them again. I was like, yeah. But then, do you know what? It's like one of these things where I'm like, yeah, that happened because of that.
Yeah.
That was partly my fault as well. So
yeah.
But it was one of these moments where I freaked out because I was like, I don't know how long I've got on this and I don't want to shaft them either. So
I know, sadly the client isn't always wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are wrong as well.
Yeah.
Fuck up.
But then you learn as well.
Yeah.
And I think like the main thing from this is don't have a bath. Like,
don't have a bath. Don't go in a bath. Yeah. That's bad juju.
That's amazing. Don't have a bath
because you will get your client telling you they don't want to work with you.
Your and client will drop you while you're in the bath.
Plunge you.
Yeah, literally drown you in the bath. How poetic.
Right.
Okay.
That was not quickfire.
No, it wasn't, but that's okay. How do you set your rates, aka how do you sell your self-worth? So, oh God. I mean, this has been like 5 years of trying to set or understand what my value is and putting a price on it.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, for instance, my first logo that I ever done was, like, £50.
Yes,
yeah, same. Oh, wait a minute. You're the £50 logo brigade.
Yeah. Of course.
I know, but how
that's
long
how
ago
you start.
Was this?
That was 5 years ago.
It's how we all start.
So I thought that was, like, I mean, obviously, like, 5 years ago, as a student, that was, like, woo, £50.
Yeah.
how many beers at the student union
yeah,
is that?
Exactly.
Greg, you'll kill me because there was one time when I was a student. I did it a couple of times. I'd done like a photo shoot for like a night out, you know, for like one of these, what do they call it, the society. I charged them £20. I know. And that was like, I know. But I thought that was like pocket money at the time.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's
like,
a bottle MD.
Yeah.
Maybe two
ski
bottles.
A very stupid shoot. I could have made 100 odd more when I was as a student.
You could have, yeah.
£20, I'm like,
but that's like when you start out, that's okay to an extent, I guess. But setting your rate, when you become more established and you've got a bit more of a back catalogue, you're just a bit like, okay, no, I actually need to I think for me, how to set your rate is probably do a lot of like, I did a lot of like market research and like seeing, there's actually a freelancer study, I think, that comes out every year. I can't remember who does the study, but it sort of gives you a scope of like what a freelancer should be charging in this economy, which is actually very good and
that's
helpful.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to find that.
Yeah.
So I sometimes look at that and that gives me like an idea of like, okay, what should I be charging?
Yeah. For years, I've followed a commercial photographer in the States called Chase Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I don't even know if this is actually a quote from him or it's something that he quoted in one of his kind of podcasts about the same, you know, this whole kind of rate and all that sort of. He says, you will never take a $50 client and turn them into a $500 client.
Mm-hmm.
And you will never take a $500 client and turn them into a $5,000 client. So when you go and you're going, well, actually, this is a new client, I'll give them a bit, you know, a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you give them that inroad to say, oh, that's how cheap they are, you will have a much harder job to increase your rates with them over a period of time. So I would always say, if you feel like you have to, you're kind of like, you're going, oh shit, I really want this client. Don't lowball yourself because you're setting yourself up for
It's always
longer
so much. It's harder to go. But that's something that I learned was that it's harder to negotiate to go up than it is to go. So like if you go to someone say, it's £500 for this, it's much easier to negotiate that down rather than being like trying to negotiate that that up. Like that's something that I've learned. Yeah. And now that I'm thinking out loud, my main service is £700 and it's a 2-day thing. So that's £350 a day. So that is really I just need to change my mindset of
because like that's what I was gonna say, like when I was having the conversation as well, it's like we need to have a catch up, like because I was like going to ask you like how do you price like certain packages and stuff as well, but it is just one of these things because I'm bespoke depending on the client as
we all are
it's like a logo branding blah blah blah, I'm like I'll always like judge it by like what they'll maybe need as well,
mm-hmm.
and also by like like they might not need any digital assets at all, it might just be purely so it's all bespoke, it's things like that.
Well, I guess that the consensus is there's no right or wrong.
No,
it's just
I've always I did the same as you. I did like kind of research around competitors. Although I'm always a great believer that people who like work in the same field as you in the same area.
Mm.
I don't like to view them as competitors. They're your peers,
mm-hmm.
right? But I do believe in like for me at least I like to hit the middle of the road. Right, maybe a little bit above the middle of the road, right? Because again, you'll never grow from the bottom, or you'll find it much harder to grow from the bottom. You will fill your books with work, but you will be fucking exhausted.
Yes,
for very little return.
Yeah, I would much rather be doing like two bigger jobs than like five.
So that's
jobs.
You and I have spoken about this recently because again, and the thing is, like when I was full time working, yes, you can afford to knock your rates down for a Saturday gig. Or something like that. But then when you come out into the freelance world and you're on your own and you see, like, say, for example, photographers. I've seen a few photographers at the moment go, we're doing a half day for £50, £75, something like that. A half day work for a photographer plus editing. You know, like an afternoon shooting plus all the editing time. What does your hourly rate work out as? No, and if you think about that, if that person booked 5 days, right, half days, so you know, morning, afternoon, that's 150, and then there's at least a week, if not 2 weeks worth of editing time after that, your hourly rate is fucking peanuts.
You wouldn't work that way if it was an advertiser's job.
No.
I think.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So. And it's the perspective, I think, of freelancing. It it's... People don't
it's hard. It's hard to get established, and it's really easy to just lower your rate, keep lowering it.
Yes, yeah.
But then sometimes as well, because we had that conversation as well, and we're like, this is supposed to be quick fire questions, so. But like, we had that conversation where it was like a job came in, and like, if you go low at it, then it's like, actually, what's the point? Because we're not like getting the value. Like, and we know how long it's going to take us, so what's the point in us being like, oh yeah, we'll take the job just for the cash, because if you were to actually stretch it out and be like, that actually took me like 3 hours to do it, I'm getting 50 quid for it. If you put that into an hourly wage, then I'm like, it's actually really not that much.
But
once you take, once you take 25% off for tax, it's peanuts.
That's the other thing to consider when you're doing your rates as well, I think, is you won't get holiday pay as a freelancer.
No.
You won't get pension.
No.
You won't get, your tax won't get deducted as well. So you always need to price yourself higher because you need to cover yourself for those costs. And I hate when people don't, like, I get really frustrated when people don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your rates are far too high. Yeah, but I'm not getting any benefits of an employee.
No.
I'm not getting pension. Tax deductment and also holiday pay.
There's also not the stability as well. You're not getting a monthly wage.
Yeah.
So it's like, but if you need a freelancer, unless you're going to go to like Upwork or Fiverr and pay someone peanuts, that's on you. But if you want a good working relationship with a good graphic designer who knows their shit, who has experience, who will get to know you properly, then that's what you're paying for. It's not
an experience. Because that's how I write it in my offer, in my brand makeover offer. It's like, you're paying for a whole experience. Like, this isn't just, you know, a transactional thing. This is like a very tailored, very customised, very personal thing that we're doing here. And that's worth the money. So I don't know if that, I think that might answer that question.
I've got another analogy, but we'll move on to the next question.
Do it.
Well, we all buy a phone, right?
Yeah.
Most phones now are about a grand.
Yes.
And then if you pay that up over 2 years, the longevity of the actual phone itself is not the best. And that is also your communication device. But if you're investing in your branding, that's your communication device to your
Absolutely.
Audience.
Oh my God, cannot be anymore.
And that will last years. And how well it's established as well, how well you establish it and make it work for yourself is going to keep selling you. Like that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Your phone, although it's a small investment, you're paying a grand for it. That won't last you all that time. So it's like that's where you need to look at the value of having an actual object to something that is an experience that will last longer.
Exactly. No, you're so right, because I don't think that's a lot of people don't really appreciate that perspective of you're not, like, your branding's like your business suit. You're not going to turn up to work in your pajamas. Like, that's, like, I mean, if you want to. But, like, it's representative of you, so it should be valued highly, and you should invest in it. If you want things to look good.
Properly.
If you want it done properly, you should do.
Like, when people ever ask me for a logo, I just say, I don't do logos, it's a brand.
Yes.
There's no point in just giving you a logo.
Yes, you're not getting
anything from that.
It's a whole identity, and so that's a lot of stuff to think about when you're setting your rates.
That's only 50 quid. Let's make these more quick fire, because we need to train.
We need to get the gym. Got any advice for someone looking to start out the same way you did, a student trying to freelance part-time? How did you find the first clients?
Networking.
Networking, for me, social media was how I found my first client, like being super visible when I can, however I want to do it. I was constantly creating on social media, posting, and that's how I found my first client. And also, a wee tip as well for LinkedIn. See, when you're searching for stuff on LinkedIn, I sometimes search keywords into the search bar and then filter it to posts, because some people don't actually put up job posts. They put out like a little LinkedIn status or like do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather
than
hard work from LinkedIn from like, you know, when people are like, I'm looking for a freelancer, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Because I'll reply to them and no one's ever got back to me.
I mean, the ratio for is not great.
Yeah.
But like, I find sometimes, you'll just for like finding opportunities as a student who's starting out, sometimes people will just post that way and you can try and find stuff that way. Internships, Unlocked is a great place to go for design internships. I know it's not freelance, but they do a lot of internships. Obviously, if you're a student, talk to your university. Like, there might be some opportunities there to do some work for your university as a student for work experience. So that's also a wee tip there. Greg, how did you find your first client? quick fire!
Well, funnily enough, my first client was my former employer.
Fair.
So, you know, what can I say? That one kind of fell right in my lap.
They missed you.
They missed me.
Yeah.
It took them only 3 weeks, but hey-ho, they missed me.
Rapport, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So
that's
important.
That's
I realised
really vital.
That.
Yeah.
It's
so important.
Yeah.
Your connections with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why networking is really important.
Yeah.
Even though when we first met, we were like, fuck, we have to go and stand in front of people and tell them what we do. And we're like, oh, I fucking hate this.
I don't mind doing it now.
Now look at us.
Like, I don't know what's happened, what's been unlocked inside of me, but I'm just like,
bring it on.
Talk to anyone. I love it.
It's networking, though. That's the main one.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
It's
talking
like,
to people. I say this to a couple of workshops I've done with students. I always try and drill that in. It's like speaking to people is like a superpower. It's like the catalyst.
Absolutely. And I would say actually one of the most important things to not do is to make a conversation transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
when you sit to talk to somebody, it's like, oh, so what kind of work could I do for you? No, show interest in them.
Yeah.
In who they are and what they do, and don't walk away going, well, you can call me if you need. Just keep going back to networking. You know, we say this about SEN sometimes as well. It's like you get out what you put in, and if you just turn up to an event that you don't maybe have ever been to, and you expect the world to fall in your lap, like, oh look, people are going to flood me with work now because I went fuck off. That doesn't happen.
No.
It's not the reality.
That's not the reality. You go back time and again, you show commitment to that thing,
mm-hmm.
and you build relationships, mm-hmm. and that's where it comes from. Because yeah. sometimes it's not about the people you make relationships with at that networking. It's somebody says to someone that you know.
Yes.
And they go, actually, I know... You know, person. I know Greg from network. Yeah. He's really, you know, whatever.
It's just showing up, isn't it? And then, it's all the follow-ups as well. Like, once you've met them, connect with them on LinkedIn or their Instagrams, wherever, and then just give them a wee message, follow up, and then just, like, make sure you're present, because then they'll remember you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be a good person.
Well, that's how I did it when I was at uni. It was just a pest. I said yes to what I wanted to say yes to, put my hand up first for, like, presentations, opportunities mm-hmm. to, like, put myself out there, do talks in the uni, outside of uni, and made use of like all the industry connections and speaking to people. That was just like pester. And like you say, you don't know who someone's going to think of you for something. Like, for example, tomorrow I'm taking Katie Cowan around from Creative Boom around Glasgow, which is absolutely mental because I've looked up to her for so long. But that only came because I was speaking to Graham from Jam Hot. And he was like, he emailed me and been like, I can't do this. Can you do this? Because, you know, like you've done podcasts and you're quite comfortable in front of camera. You don't mind speaking, things like that. Do you want to do this for me with Katie? And I was like, absolutely. I would love to do that.
Yeah,
I know.
It's
so cool. And but that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't made an impression or like, exactly.
Yep.
Right.
So,
quick fire.
I know. These are like such in-depth questions. Do you think we've just got one time for one more?
Should we just do like a point each? We'll not elaborate, but just, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Okay, so I can definitely... Okay, this one. I think this was the next one. Yep. Niche or not niche?
No niche.
Actually, yeah, no. No
niche?
I don't. No.
I would say... Yes, I know.
It works in certain ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think we talked about this actually in the panel.
Week,
listen to that. have you ever worked with charities? Any quick ideas for collaboration? Personally, I can answer that because I work with a charity right now. So I work 3 days a week with a charity called Social Shifters. So yes, is the answer to that. I'm not entirely sure what you mean by any quick ideas for collaboration.
So this is probably like pro bono. You know, what would you get, you know, if you were going to do some free work for a charity? Is that good?
Ooh.
Yes and no. I would say
your audience there.
Yeah,
depends. I think if it means a lot, if you're genuinely passionate and interested
connection.
In it do it if you're comfortable doing it, but don't just start doing free work for charities because that's what you think
because
is right.
Charities, you know, charities do get funding.
They have money.
They pay people to do things. But when it comes to kind of like free work as well, I would always say, you know, be mindful. If you're approached and asked, then first of all, I would say don't necessarily immediately say no. Just because it's free, there is value in certain free work, but look at the contents of either your portfolio or whatever and go, will doing this free work fill a gap?
Is it going to mutual benefit?
Will there be actually a mutual benefit, or is it going to give me another variant of something I've done 10 times before? And then that helps you weigh that up, because I would always
like
go, if it gives you an angle or something that you're missing, then sometimes free work
is okay.
It can be beneficial.
It depends on the context of it.
Exactly.
And what you'll get. Like, not always what you get back, but it's like how it could be in your portfolio. And also, like, if you genuinely want to do it as well.
If it has meaningful connection to you, then do it.
Well, so when I started working with this charity, I was not earning what I was earning now when I started working with them.
Yeah.
I'm earning probably double now than when I was working with them initially to start with.
Yeah.
So I worked with them as a student with a free student project.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they remembered me, came back to me when I graduated and asked me if I could do maybe 1 or 2 days a week.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, it wasn't a great amount of money, but it was enough money that I was quite happy.
Yeah.
It was okay. And then I've just slowly done enough valuable work for them that they are like, could you try this? Could you do this? Oh, great, great. Now it's kind of grew arms and legs, and I'm now doing 3 days a week with them.
Yeah.
As a sort of like part-time freelance job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can start small, but it can grow into something quite big.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for quick cash injections, i.e. how to send quick offers?
Only fans. No, I'm kidding. only because Greg said it last time.
Hey!
And then I was like, I'll get one established. No, kidding. Please do not put that in the fucking video. I'll kill you.
Yeah.
How do we interpret that? So, sending quick.
Can you
offers.
Read that out again?
Do you have any tips for quick cash injections, i.e. how to send quick offers?
Quick offers, would that not be like a CRM system, get people's names down, and then send them newsletter emails and stuff? I don't know. Depends on the context.
Yeah, is it like a downloadable product? Is it a service? Yeah. Is it like...
Could it be a wee...
Depends on what it is, yeah. It really depends on what it is. I think for me, personally, my experience sending quick offers is like when you've like launched something new.
Yeah.
And it's like... You could maybe do like a quick offer on that new thing to then
first couple of reduce rate
or half price or percentage off or whatever it is, and then be like, oh, like this is like an exclusive first five spots or five places are at this price, and then the rest are full price sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only personal experience that I've had.
For me, something like a headshot thing. So if you're doing something that is. If there's something that you can maybe physically do like multiple times in one day,
mm-hmm.
right, for me is like that kind of thing. So I am doing something later on this month on that, but in a slightly different vein. But I could basically say, look, if I can fill this day,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can offer a reduced rate, right? And you could maybe do that. So yeah, if it kind of helps maximize your time,
mm-hmm.
Then you know sometimes you can do stuff like that.
Yes, and like repurposing, like I'm in the kind of midst of like repurposing things that I've already done.
Yeah.
To monetize it.
Uh huh.
So like things like I don't need to like so that's like kind of like quick cash, I guess. It's because I've already done the work and I'm just kind of reshaping it into something that I can sell.
Yeah.
Or upsell.
I need to do that. So. I bought like bits and stuff there, but then I'm like, I just need to find a way of selling it. Do you know what I mean? Like I've got prints and things. And I'm like, that's why I put Grub Creative rather than just being Grub Design.
Because
like,
then you've got an umbrella. Love it.
Someone will come of it one day. I just need to update my bloody website.
Same. Always. Okay, last question. How important is it to have to build a strong personal brand and online presence in order to get clients? Smiley face. Very important.
You go first because that was in your...
Yeah,
it was. So, absolutely, so important. I think I've got a lot of credit to give social media for my sort of success as a freelancer because, it's just... I think it's such a great tool. We have so much at our fingertips to be able to do business like this. It's insane. So, yes, a strong personal brand for me is great because people buy from people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I put a lot of my personality into what I do. And I think a lot of people trust me more because I do that, strangely enough. Yeah. So they're like, I want to talk to Chloe because she's this, this, and this. And I align with that, and that.
Yeah.
So I think, and that all comes from my personal brand. That's not because I've got, like, I put my face to my brand as well. Like, I don't hide behind a logo or anything like that. That works for some people. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work for me. I'm a very much a people person.
Yep.
You're buying from me and you're working with me. So you will be seeing my face everywhere. Literally. For me, personal brand is very important.
Yeah. See, I think that's where I've kind of learned from my journey because when I was just plunged into being like, right, I'm just going to go this freelance route, I was looking at, I think when I announced that I was going freelance on LinkedIn, it just changed really quickly in my algorithm, so I was getting fed loads of freelance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also had people, I never really used LinkedIn at all before, but
yeah,
I always had like the odd person that would come up who was freelance, and I was like, oh my God, they're killing it. Like seeing their brand photos, just, and then you're like, okay, I know who that person is, I know their tone of voice, like that they're friendly, warm, approachable, whatnot, and it is just like the content you're putting out, so it's like you're saying, people want to people.
Mm-hmm.
I think initially when I kind of went out there, I was like, I need to be professional on LinkedIn. And then slowly but surely, I've just been like chipping away and being like, no, this is not, people want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even if you put up something about like, I don't know, like a trip that you've done or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but like, it doesn't have to be anything work-wise. It's just
mm-hmm.
being like, this is what I've been up to.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are like, oh, that's cool. And then sometimes you pick up the phone to the client and be like, oh, how was your holiday? Or like, what was it? And you're just like, that's nice, because you can see that they're following you.
Yeah.
And not that I need them to know everything about my life, but it's more just kind of like, you're just kind of giving them a bit of like, just
and
they get
to
know you as a
it,
person.
Yeah.
It's, more, it's just
yeah.
like, it's just, I think there's like that corporate shit where it is just like transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if, like you said, if you're working with a freelancer, you are working with that person. So you want it to be like,
mm-hmm.
not too personal, but like there's a line.
Yes.
But you want it to
yeah.
be like, okay, I know I can trust this person.
Yes.
And also they're fucking hilarious. Or
get on with
yeah,
them. Like,
exactly.
Like, it's funny you say that. I'm thinking now, like, there's a pattern. So like all, maybe like 95% of the clients that I've worked with, still continue to interact with
mm-hmm.
all of my socials
mm-hmm. yeah.
and everything. Like, I get messages, comments from past clients,
mm-hmm.
which is great. Like, I want
yeah.
that. It's like an ecosystem of
yeah.
people that you're building, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never actually thought about that till now. Like, I'm just thinking, like, my client Lorraine, she'll always like hearts my stories and stuff, and I'm
like,
I love that.
Yeah.
Stephanie, she's always commenting on things and sharing things with me, and it's just lovely. And that's
yeah.
I
but then that's
so
your network
poor.
As well, because then they'd
yeah.
be like, oh, go to Chloe. Like, that's...
Exactly.
And it's like, you and I do the exact same thing, but then I'm like, no, but you've got your niche, like, you've got your clients, like, the thing that you do, and then... So, but, like,
everyone's
totally
different.
But then
mm-hmm.
it's like, that, like, people will come to me for some whatever reason it is, and then people will come to you. So, like, do you know what I mean? It's just, it's funny.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
all works.
Oh, I just, yeah.
It's so nice.
Personal brand, I could not... shout about it enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
On your own terms, you can do it on your own terms. Don't
mm-hmm.
go out with the bounds of what you're comfortable
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because then if you're sharing too much, I literally label myself as an oversharer. Like, I'm quite happy.
Oh, we know.
So, like, but that's not for people sometimes.
Yeah.
That's not what they want. That's not what
yeah.
they want. They just want this and that's it.
That's where there's the Facebook people on LinkedIn that drive me nuts. I've seen like bereavements and everything, and I'm like, I don't need to see that on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I get why some people might want to share it, but it just,
it's
for me, sometimes
not...
I'm like, it's, there's a line that I just don't.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's too personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the blurring mm-hmm. line between Facebook and
LinkedIn. Yeah, yeah.
Think, like,
we're not needing to know
it.
What you have
yeah.
for your dinner.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
like, you know, that you went and did that. Like,
oh, yeah.
like, it's fine to share things, but yeah, just
yeah.
to the extent that you're comfortable with, and yeah, not
but
yet.
I think, though, my advice, if you are going freelance, you can't be introverted in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, some people do hide behind the logos, but I think in this day and age, like, it does, you do need to kind of
yeah.
show
yeah.
who you are.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Completely agree. Anything to add?
No.
In personal branding?
You don't really do the personal brand thing that much, I don't think.
It's
I
weird.
Think you do.
I, no,
it's
SEO.
Yeah.
And
you
do. I
do
it with this.
Yeah.
Enormously. I don't do it with me.
Interesting.
I know.
It's a very odd one.
Mm.
I don't know the answers.
We'll
to
help
why.
You.
I know. We can help you. I can imagine a wee, like, a wee Greg drawing that moves around and
yeah.
is like...
We can do a content day.
Oh my God, yeah.
We can follow you when you're out on a shoot. But this is Greg.
See what happens when you get two graphic designers. It's only because we want to help.
Yeah. It'd be great, Matt. You're so funny.
I love you for that.
Yeah.
Aww.
I actually picture like a wee Greg guy in the corner and he's
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little sketch of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trust us with it. Oh my God, that could be our first collab for
yes.
50 quid.
Greg's brand brand identity. But what you actually get for 50 pounds? Stick man.
Damn it, where's that pile of cash we had from last month? Shit, I'm going to get so much more.
I wonder what would happen, you don't have to put this in the film or whatever, but I wonder what would happen if you did do more of what you do for SEN for...
For me,
yeah.
Who you'll attract, because it would be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you've
knows?
Got us two banging on about how fucking fabulous we are, and what we've had for breakfast, and what we've been up to, what holidays.
Well, guys, ching ching,
we've talked shy for ages.
I know.
Hope that answered
that
all your
life.
Questions.
Yeah.
thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed these episodes. If you fancy coming along to a Scottish Creative Network night, I've linked all their socials and ticket information in the description. The next one's on May 20th at the Social Hub in Glasgow. I am most likely going to be there, so please come and say hello. Thanks again for listening. Have a lovely rest of your day, and I'll chat with you soon.